All things are ready.
Turn to our Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 4. Galatians, chapter 4. We want to read from verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be a lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
Amen.
And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Amen.
Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ."
Amen.
May God bless the reading of his word.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Maybe build up on something that we spoke on some time back. We spoke on the sons of God go through chastisement, or they are chastised.
Mm-hmm.
For God chastises every son whom he receiveth. Now we just want to speak again on the sons of God, on the part of adoption. Here we read in the Bible that in the fullness of time God sent his son, Jesus Christ, who was born under the law, and who came through the woman, to bestow upon us the adoption of sons. Amen. I think we saw the last time that Israel, as children of God, or as son of God, like in the book of Exodus, God told Moses, say, go and say unto Pharaoh, Israel is my firstborn, and so let him come out. And Pharaoh, when he persisted in denying their release, finally the firstborn of all the people of Israel, of Egypt, died on that Passover night. So they were released and they went into the wilderness, and because of what God said about them, that Israel is my firstborn. Then we see in the book of Deuteronomy how that God said to them, you were in this wilderness for 40 years. I fed you with manna and gave you water from the rock, and your clothes did not wear out, your feet did not swell. I wanted to see, and I wanted to prove you that if you would follow my law from your heart, maybe just as we saw this morning, that God does not want anything in image form. Following the word of God is not by a system, it's not by opportunity, it's not by because we can spare the time to worship God, but it's a commitment of life. It is the life of God coming through us. That's what the word of God is to us. We don't expect God, and we don't look to God to do things according to our program, but according to His.
Amen.
As much as we can say, this day let's meet, this day let's meet, yes, we have opportunities like that, we have time like that, because maybe sometimes we've got to go to work, and then we have some spare time, and like Sundays, it's just the law of the land that there's no work on Sunday except for a few. So we gather together and we worship God. But we don't take this as a system. As much as we can say we start the service at such a time, but we are still open to God if He can extend the time. Or if He can, we say our service is 2 hours and the Lord wants it to be 30 minutes, we accept that. We have no concrete things that we said, God, that God, you must do such things in such time.
Amen.
So we are not here just because it's a Sunday, mm-hmm. but we are here because we feel we want to do a service to God, and we want to worship Him. As much as God can give us the opportunity to do, and as much as we can sacrifice maybe some of our things in life to worship God, thereby submitting ourselves under the leadership, under the anointing, and under the will of God. So it's not burdensome for us to worship God, even to come for service, because we are the expression of God. You know, if you can look at it this way, that if it is God's desire for me to go through something, it won't be burdensome to me, neither will it be an impediment or something that will block me or something that will disturb me to such an extent that it will destroy my Christian love and my commitment to God. That's why even Job, in his time, though he went through all those hard times, he still came out and said, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken. And you can find at the end of his life, you see him saying, I know my Redeemer liveth, and one day I'll see him, or you stand on the earth. And then he says, I had heard only by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee.
Amen.
Just imagine that God Himself had said of Job, he's perfect, he's a man who avoids sin, he worships God, he's a man, an upright man. God Himself giving that testimony. But after he went through what he went through, at the end, he says, now, I just had heard by the hearing of the ear. All that life he had lived, the goodness of God, how he worshipped God, how he gave himself to God, it was just by the hearing of the ear.
Amen.
How much more now, when his eyes had seen.
Amen.
You see, it's just like God perfecting the perfect. So if it is God who is doing it, you know, God has got a reason and a purpose for everything that we go through. So we don't despair. So you see, God, after he delivered Israel, he says, I want to see, I want to know, if you follow my laws from your heart, not just because you are part of the group, not just because you have come out of Egypt. You know, God was taking them to a higher height of expressing themselves to God. Sure, naturally, they really had to appreciate what God had done for them, from being in bondage to come out. Sure, they could worship like they did at the Red Sea. They worshipped, they sang songs, and they praised God because God had done something great to them. After that, still, God does not just lead them in that way of worship. He wants now something that comes from the heart. Not praise God because they've been delivered out of Egypt. Not to praise God because they had crossed the Red Sea on dry land. Not because they had seen their enemy being destroyed. As much as that was good. But God wanted them, he took another step with them to prove them that they did not worship simply because they came out of Egypt. They did not worship simply they came out of bondage.
Right.
As much as we appreciate, we could have been taken out of very negative things, very things which are very bad in this life. We could have been taken out of a life that was not good. But on that basis, God does not just expect us to continue worshipping just because he has been good to us. That's why he reveals his word. That's why he gives us of his word that it will come time that we will worship him to accomplish what he purposed for us. And that we may not know. But when we live the life, we will finally express the desire and the purpose of God in our life. So much that when God looks at us, he sees the perfection of his will in our life. And then that will be the best thing ever to live for.
Amen.
When God looks down upon your life and he can see you just touring the line. You know, like it was with Abraham. You know, he was taken out of that land of the Chaldeans and he was brought to that land, and God gave him all the land. He says, everything here is yours. But he did not give him the son which he had promised him for those 25 good years. Just to see how would Abraham look at the situation?
Right.
How would Abraham deal with this situation? But the Bible tells us that Abraham, by faith, he believed in hope against hope. You know, that stage was when Abraham really was not doing things just because he was happy God had taken him out of Mesopotamia. It was now the revelation of the purpose of God in Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham really could see why God had called him above just things which are blessings of this earth. That's why he could now look for the city whose builder and maker is God, of which God never told him anything about the city. He said, I'm going to give you a son, and that was all. But because of his constant life in his faith in the word, it was revealed to him the real thing that God had called him for.
Right.
So you may see, maybe the real thing is not being spoken. Maybe the real thing is not, explained maybe the way you would like things to be explained. Like he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. He kept quiet. And then people said, we cannot follow that. But to Peter, it was revealed that no, this is the word of life. So, the things of God are given to us, not in the, of course, normal lecture way of doing things, but it is the life of God which reveals the things of God to us. Now, the children of God are taken through this process whereby it is built in them that following the word of God is by faith, not by a code of ethics or some law. It is their faith in the word of God. And faith, we've seen that it is the evidence of the things that we hope for. And it is also the substance of the things that are not seen. So, as Israel was given the law as a schoolmaster, I think in Galatians, that is verse 23, is it? Galatians chapter 2, verse 23. It says, but he who was, Galatians chapter 3, verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. So we see that Israel was under the schoolmaster when it was under the law. So the law was bringing them to that which is perfect, and we know that is faith, that they may be justified not by law but by faith. But as they were in the wilderness under the chastisement, God said, I want to see if you really want to walk by my laws from your heart. It was no longer just something that God gave them, say, you should keep this and that and that and that, and then they'll just be doing that in fear. Like, we are in the wilderness here. If we don't do this, God may destroy us here. So we better do it.
Right.
So that we can get to the place where we want to get. It was no longer the thing now. God wanted to see if from their heart they would love to keep the law of God.
Amen.
Because they are the son of God. They are the child of God going through chastisement. And chastisement is for the perfection. It will bring us out of being childish into that adulthood where we would be called now the adopted sons of God. That's why Israel, after they came out of Egypt, they did not go into the promised land the next week or the next month, the following month, because inheritance is not for babies, but it is for the grown-ups.
Right.
So, you see, at the Red Sea, they were crying. And Moses tell them, you know, after they cried, we are going to die here, they were all crying there. And Moses even joined them. He started to cry also. And then the Lord said, why do you cry to me? You speak. You see. So, after the church cried and the pastor also cried, you could not take those babies into the promised land. They have to go for 40 years until that childishness comes out.
Right.
That's why when they crossed into the land, it was now under the leadership of Joshua, a warrior.
Right.
You don't go to war when you are a baby. And also there was this Caleb who said, I've never deviated from the law of God. For the past 40 years, my strength has been the same. Mm-hmm. Even though He went into all the trials that Israel went through. Caleb was there. Everything that was hard for the people, it was also hard for Caleb. But his strength never left him because of the faith that he had in the word of God. So he was keeping the word of God. As the Lord said, he had another spirit. Something that was looking forward to the thing that God was calling him for. So here we are also, as children of God, we went through our chastisement. We have come to God, and God takes us through all these things which are in life. You know, sometimes, you know, like, you know, with us back home, you can have children, which here you would call, maybe it's an offense, you would call it child labor. You don't have your children to wash their, even their clothes, eh? You don't have children doing housework. But with us, you know, our children are taught to wash, to cook from a very tender age. So it's not child labor, it's to train them. Okay, so you have to tell them, you know, when they wake up in the morning, you sweep the floor. You do this, you do that. You know, with children, they've got their own resistance, you know. They cannot just go. But it will come time when they grow into maturity, whereby you don't have to wake them up. You don't have to instruct them, do this, do that, do that, do that. They'll just come into it, and they love to do it, and they have joy in doing it. Like Gunn was saying about those girls who wake up and wash the dishes and do all those things. You know, that is our African way of doing things. So it has to come to a point whereby the child will no longer be followed from behind to do things. It will come time that I'm doing these things for my own benefit, for my own good. It's not I'm doing this for mama or for papa, but I'm doing this for myself because of the future that awaits me. So is it now when we receive the word of God, we don't just do things because God said we should do this. Like, you know, the Lord taught us how to do some things. He taught of going the extra mile, isn't it? If somebody asks you to go 1 mile, take 2. If somebody asks you for your outer coat, give him even the inner coat. You're just going the extra mile. Not just doing things precisely, we must do this, we must do that, we must go to church on Sunday. If the program changes, I'm not for that. Things like that. We don't do it that way. It is our commitment to God and our love for the word of God and for fellowship and for the spirit, to be in the spirit of God, that makes us do what we do when we worship God. So we come to that point, or we come to that stage in life whereby God has got to look down upon us, and then he sees the maturity. He sees that we now understand what we are doing and why we are doing what we do. It's not just a routine, but it's something that is coming out of a life that has got the light of the purpose. You remember the Bible says anything that is done outside of faith is sin. We don't do things it says, no one can please God but by faith. You cannot please God by just going to church. As much as God wants us to come to church, God is not pleased because we've come. Because even our coming here is not the ultimatum, it's not the absolute. We are coming here for something.
We worship God so that we get to something. Without that faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. We have been called to a hope, not to a dead end. So there is that life in us that has to look forward and up to something that is greater, and something that is more than just coming to church. So children of God, they go through this process. They go through this as we go through life. God deals with us in different ways. Maybe it's your workplace where God wants to maybe bring you under the juniper tree. Maybe it's in the family. Maybe it's in school. Wherever God chooses to bring you under your juniper tree, it is up to Him. But at the end of the day, we come to this realization that God is God, and that we have been called to something that is much more than just living or just abandoning our evil ways of life. That is not the end of our calling. Just to live good, just to be not in sin, just to be good people to our neighbors and things like that. We have been called to something that is much more than that. That's why even with Abraham, after those 25 years, finally he gets the son. And maybe after another 18 or so years, God says, give me that son as a sacrifice. But Abraham had been in love with this word of God. He had been in contact with the working of God. So much that he said, God told me, through this son, I'll give children like the stars. So, if I give him as an offering, God is going to raise him up. That's why he said to the servant, stay here, I and the lad will go and pray, and we will come back. So he knew, according to the book of James, he knew that God was going to raise him from the dead. And then he was called a friend of God. He was so, he could read between the lines. God never told him, okay, if you give me your son, don't worry, I'll raise him. He didn't tell him that. He said, just give me your son. But he could read between the lines. And that is what faith did. And Abraham became a friend of God. He was he was much more than just a worshiper. He was much more than just somebody who obeyed God. And then God said, because you have done this, your children or your seed shall possess the gate of the enemy. Now we know that what that means. That seed was Christ. So actually Abraham could see the dying and resurrection of Christ, and he believed in that so much that he gave his son, knowing actually he was foretelling the dying and rising of Christ. And God, you see, that is what was in the mind of God even before the foundation of the world, that he would give his son to die and to rise again. And Abraham saw that. And when he saw the unseen, and that is what faith is, he pleased God. So it is our desire to please God, not just by following some laid down procedures, by following some given laws, but by coming into that whereby we look and we desire for the real thing which God called us for, which may not be something which is just put out plain there, but it is by faith. Because if you want to look at it, all those who pleased God did not just do it by law. David, when he looked at God, when he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and then I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. When he was looking at God, it was not just by keeping the law. He said, I've hidden your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. He was not just talking about the Ten Commandments or the law of God. He had the revelation of the Word of God. And that he hid it in his heart. That means it was now his life. It was now his being. Without that, he was not alive. That's why he could say, "You'll not let your Holy One see corruption." It was so vivid, it was so clear in him that he could see death not as something that is an impediment, not something that is real. To David, death was something false. It was not a real thing. Because he said, even if I go through that shadow of the valley of death, I will not fear. How can you be afraid of something that is not there? You are afraid of something that is real. So if David could not see death as a real thing, that means he was seeing not with his eyes. That means he had that faith whereby he looked and he desired for the real thing. That's why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, "If you want, you can throw us in the fire. If God deliver us, fine. Even if we burn in that fire, no problem. Take us there. We'll not worship that golden image." Because they could see that death is false. There's no truth in death. It's something that we just pass through, but it's not real, it's not there. In the beginning, it was not there. So I cannot be held bondage by something that was not even in the beginning there. Because if it was not there, it will not be there at the end.
Yes.
So this is how those of faith could come to the position whereby God would accept them and give them that which he had called them for. So now, we as the children of God, gone through our chastisement, we have gone through all these things. Now, there is something that has made us to be what we are. It's not something that happened yesterday. It's not something that we heard when we heard the preacher preaching and then we gave our lives to God. That is not our beginning. According to the Bible, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved." Now, can you see where we belong and where we came from? Amen. We are children of God because God called us. Why did he call us? He has got a purpose. He has got something that is eternal, which Paul states, I think, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, that it is according to the eternal purpose of God. So we have been called to be children of God as a result of the calling of God. And by faith, we received it. By faith, we saw it. Amen. So what we have received is because of our faith in that purpose of God. We received this salvation, we repented, and we gave ourselves to God because of our faith in what the Word spoke to us. And then, from there, still faith looks still ahead. It says we were called, predestinated, unto the adoption of children. And this was by the foreknowledge of God for the praise of the glory of God. So God called us to be children. He called us to come to him. Now we enjoy what God does to us when he calls us. Maybe I was a smoker, I was doing this, I was doing that. You know, I'm called, and I'm taken out of all that sin of the world. That gives me joy. That I was once walking in darkness, now the light is shone. Now I am in the light. Amen. Now, we are brought into the light for a purpose, so that we can see. You see, that's why we sing, we walk in the light, so come where the dew drops of mercy. We have come to light so that we are able to see the purpose why we were called. God does not call us into light so that will be the end of the journey. We have been called into the light, and the light is that which makes us able to see the things of God. Denominationalism and all this thing that has crippled the Christendom is because people have not come into the light. They have come into forms, they have come into set up things by man. But when we come into the light, we are brought so that we can see what God wants us to see. And that is what God purposed for us from before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
So because of that predestination, which was the foreknowledge, by the foreknowledge of God, that predestination in us now looks forward to adoption. Amen. Because by predestination, we were called unto adoption to be the sons and daughters of God. So, we have received the word of God. Like 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's just read that. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, and obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, can you see what manner of people we are? We are people who are the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Is that right?
Amen.
Because of that foreknowledge, we were sanctified by the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So that we can come into obedience by the sprinkling of the blood. And the blood talks of the life. Amen. No images now. It is the life,
yes,
of Christ. When we talk of the blood, we are not talking about the chemical blood. But life is in the blood. So by being given that life of Christ, God is confirming on us his election. Amen. Now to verse 4. Christ was raised from the dead, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So you see, we are children of God. We have been called as per the ordination of God, and we have been predestinated unto adoption. And God has taken us through the process of this adoption by the power of life. Not by the law, but by the power of life. Our justification by the blood, which is the life of Christ. Our sanctification by the Spirit. And Jesus says, my word is Spirit, and so it is life. You see? So, you see, through that process of of the life of God manifested in us. We are looking forward to the purpose of God's calling. And now, it shows now, we yearn for that. Though we are taken through troubles and through trials, because our faith is much more precious than gold, though it is tried by fire. So, the whole thing is now, our life and our being is centered on the purpose why God called us. And because of that, there is a yearning in us. Though we go through all the problems, there is that hope in us, which here Peter says is a lively hope. It's a living hope. We don't have hope for only things that are in this life. Because everything that we have in this life, it has got a death tag on it. One day it will cease. Everything that is in this world, everything that is of prime importance or whatever it is in this world, it has got a death ticket on it. One day it will go. But we are yearning for that which is life. And that is to go into that inheritance which is preserved for us, not on earth. The Bible says in heaven. Why did God have to keep it in heaven? Because we were blessed with all spiritual blessings in those heavenly places. So our inheritance is there. That is where our origin is. So if our inheritance is in heaven, and our blessing was in heaven, we only came here on earth for a period of time of trial. But our real things, our real living is for those things which are real, and those are in heaven. So we yearn for that which God called us for. Amen. And whatever we have here on earth, we just take it subject, we bring it under subjection to take us there. That's why even death, David said, I don't worry about you. You are just a door for me to enter into the real life.
Yes.
So some of these things that are coming our way, that's why the Bible tells us we don't weary, we are not tired, we are not discouraged by things that try to harm and attack us. Though they look like real things in life. You know, there are things, you know, because we are still human, we are still here on earth, there are things that are so precious to us as human beings.
Right.
You know, by our faith in that which is real, it doesn't mean we are fanatics.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that if somebody here dies, it doesn't hurt us. It doesn't mean when we are in problems, we are not hurt. Yes, we are hurt in every aspect.
Right.
But that does not derail us from the purpose of our calling. You see that? Why? Because we are yearning. We desire that adoption. Our predestination is unto that adoption. And as children of God, we are not yet there until we go through all the process. We saw in the morning that we need to have justification, sanctification, and infilling of the Holy Ghost. We are going, and the Holy Ghost itself is only a down payment. It's not the end of the matter. So we are children of God. We have been called to a hope. And by that hope, we live. No matter what the devil may bring upon us, we are still looking and longing for that which is preserved for us. Amen. Now, we saw in the morning even in Romans chapter 5, where it says, we don't despair, even though we have to go through all these problems on earth. It says even the trial of our faith, you know, we know what, when these problems come on us, tribulation, what it breeds. it breeds in us that experience, and that experience a hope, and hope is that which is the love of God which was put in us. So we don't despair when we go through all these things, because there's something that is real that we are looking for, and that is our adoption. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, and Paul says also, we don't worry when we go through the problems. Let's maybe read Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Chapter 4, we will read verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Amen. You see, this is what we are going through. Amen. But though we come under all this persecution, we come under all these things, we don't despair, because of the Spirit which was put in us. Amen. And the Spirit, according to Galatians chapter 4, it is the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of sonship, which cries out, Abba, Father.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's the purpose, and that's the reason why God called us. And then if you go to the book of Romans, maybe we can read that one, chapter 8 of Romans. The book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we read verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit is of bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we are.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
The Spirit is bearing witness in us. But there are things that we have to meet and face in this life. God does not just make us dodge them. He does not just take us away from all those trials and things. They are there. Amen. As it is in children. You know, in school, in the playground, they meet all those people, all those other children who misbehave or who do whatever they do which is wrong. But there is something in a child who is groomed right. That although I meet this, my peers, I don't fall under that peer pressure. Because there's something that is molded in me. When I go home, I don't want mama to be angry with me. I don't want dad to be ashamed of me. I don't want my teacher to be ashamed of me. There can be that in a child, and it will refrain from doing things which are wrong. Whereby others are bullying others, are doing that. But there's something that he just wants to uphold. Maybe the name of the family. Maybe the trust that the teacher has put in him or in her. So that's what it is with us. We are children of God. And we go. God has done it purposely to put us in this world where there are all these things. And when the Lord was leaving this earth, he actually prayed, Father, I am coming out of the world, but I am leaving them here. They are like sheep among wolves. You see? So keep them. by thy word, and thy word is truth.
Amen.
Amen. So you see, we have been put in this situation, but God has given us the Spirit not to fear. Because the Spirit which is in us is the Spirit of adoption, that we are children of God. There's something that anchors us in God. It is that Spirit of adoption that cries out, Abba, Father.
Yes.
That looks to the perfection of the will of God in our life. We have been called to be children unto that adoption. Is that right? Now, because of the peer pressure and things that happen, you know, some children, they end up doing the wrong things or going the wrong way. And according to the law, if such a child is found to be in such a situation, there was something they did to them. I think it's in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of this city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious and will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of this city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. So there was this, whereby a child would not live according to the law of inheritance. Because we know that the children of old, the father will put him under tutors and governors, so that when he is of age, he is then given the adoption of sonship. But if he cannot live up to that standard, there was this provision whereby he would be taken to the magistrates of the city, and then he would be stoned because he could not live. Why would a father worry about this son by his disobedience? At least he would just say, get away from my property. But where would he go? And we know the law of inheritance among the people of Israel. You remember Naboth. One day he was told by King Ahab to sell or to exchange his field. He said, be it far from me that I should sell the inheritance of my fathers. They really honored and gave respect to inheritance. So if a son does not live up to that, he must be taken off. Because he cannot see how is he going to preserve the inheritance if he is a glutton, a drunkard, and doesn't want to be under subjection of his parents.
Right.
It's by being a son under the subjection of the parent, whereby one day you will be taken to the same rulers, and there you will be declared an adopted son. Mm. And then he is heir to all that the father has. But if he cannot live up to standard, then he cannot be accepted. But the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Mm. Is that right?
Mm.
And faith is the substance and the evidence. So the just shall live by faith. But if any man draws back, the Lord says, my heart is not pleased with him.
Yes.
But for us, we are not those who draw back. We are those who believe unto the salvation of the soul.
Right.
We have been called unto that adoption. We have been called not to go halfway. We have been called to that perfection. And in the book of Ephesians, we have seen that the Holy Ghost is the down payment.
Amen.
Is the earnest of our redemption.
Right.
Amen. That's why we have been called. So no matter what comes or what goes, yes, we are in this world. We fall under different types of pressure at work, at school, in the home, in the community, whatever pressures we have. But we have got this anchor that we are called unto that inheritance, unto that adoption. And because of that, we give our life, we give our everything. And now, we live not just to put a face, not just to put an image, but unto adoption. Amen. Because it is there before the world began that the Eternal One, in His mind, after His own counsel, He elected us. After His own counsel, He predestinated us unto adoption. That's why the Bible says we have the mind which was in Christ. And Brother Branham, I think he said it in the Word Made Flesh. He said every word in the Bible is in seed form. So it's not the end. God did not give us the Bible as the end. No wonder you see people, they just, if the Bible itself, Brother Branham himself, he said, the Bible is in seed form. Seed is not the end. It's a process whereby it will bring forth what it is supposed to bring.
Right.
Is that right? And the prophet says, let us go back to the Word. And the Word is the seed. How can people then say, He is the absolute? He is the end of everything. He is the end of revelation. It cannot be so. Because He came, His ministry was to bring us back to the Word. And the Word is a seed. That's what He says in Africa Trip Report. He says, now, if this Word, which is in seed form, is spoken by one who is in the same inspiration that materialized this Bible, He says that Word will come to pass. Because you have entered into the mind, into the inspiration, which in which God was when He wrote the Bible. If you speak these very words, which are seed, in the same anointing and inspiration, it will come to life. So, what God purposed for us, it was in eternity, in heavenly places, and it was in spiritual heavenly places. So we cannot comprehend those things while we are in the flesh. That's why we have this yearning in us to have this spirit of adoption, to have this ability whereby we can sign the check which was written by the Father. Because when you are adopted, according to the laws of adoption, when you are adopted as a son, you have the authority over the things of the Father. And Brother One says, your signature on the check is just as good as the Father's. That's why we can speak this word by authority. What authority? It's God's authority. And that authority belongs to God, and God has given us the spirit of adoption, so that we, our signature on the check is just as good as His. That's why He said, you shall speak, and don't doubt in your heart, it shall happen. Not even praying. He never said, you shall pray for this mountain. He said, you shall say to this mountain, You see the spoken word. Power of the inspiration of God. You shall speak and it will happen. How can it happen? Because you have entered into the same inspiration, into the same, you are now in the office. You see? You know, even at your workplaces, if the manager is not there, maybe, and then you are asked to act in his capacity, and you are there in the office, no matter he is your workmate, you were doing the same job out there. But when you are now there acting in the office, when he walks into there, he's walking into the manager's office. He cannot say, "Oh, John, you know what? Yesterday I was telling you to sweep. Just come out, go and sweep." No. He's in acting capacity of the manager. That's who we are. When we go into that office of adoption, that's what we are. We can sign the check. We are not subjected to the things of the world. That gives us the authority. That gives us the power. That gives us the ability to stay in this word. And then the word will manifest through us. And we are the children of God. The word bride. Amen. Amen. It's the spirit of adoption. It's not the spirit of fear. Amen. Because the devil has subjected people under this fear for ages. Like in the days of David, you know. Goliath subjected those people for 40 days under fear. They could not do what they were supposed to do. They could not enjoy life for those 40 days. They were under bondage. But David came, and with David, a man after God's own heart.
Right.
The expression of the love of God for his people Israel. It was David. And he's the one who destroyed the fear which was in the people by killing Goliath. And God has sent the spirit of sonship, not to fear, but to destroy those things that subjected us under the devil for all these years. So we don't walk by the precepts of the word of God through fear, but through the manifestation of the word in us.
Right.
Not that we are afraid that God will hate us. Not that we are afraid that God will forsake us. That is not it. It is not under that fear. Our fear of God is not fear for punishment, but it is that reverence fear. The fear that Jesus had. He was hated because he feared God. That fear is not as the fear of the devil, but it is reverence to God. Amen. That's who we are, and that's what we are. Children of God by predestination. Called and chosen unto adoption.
Amen.
And that is what we yearn for. That is what we strive for. That is what we desire. Amen. May God bless you.
God bless you, brother. Amen. So make it a bit, we still have a lot of time, you know. We thank God for His love anyway, and appreciate that. I must say this one thing. We need to help fellow minister like Brother James coming this way. Not only just to visit the Philippines or India or Cambodia, but becoming a minister, you know. Because we don't have many ministers associating with us, you know, in the same belief, in the same faith. It's kind of hard. And there are many more on the other side of the fan. They're coming over to Singapore, and they always have their own convention and their own that. And I have learned much from that other side, that the difference between the real thing and the image. The reality of the Word of God, and not just all this knowing what Brother Branham said, you know. And